I'm tired of seeing like these toothpick arms for someone who can like punch God. And welcome to Love It or Weeb It, where we let you know if we love an anime enough to recommend it to everyone or if it's just for the worst of the weebs. I'm Annie, and I think that the best Disney princess is Jasmine, obviously, because she's the only one that's Arab, badass, and beautiful, just like me.
I'm Jeff, and I think the best Disney princess is Mulan, but specifically when Mulan is dressed as a boy, because...
as Ping?
That confused me as a child.
It confused Shang, too.
Oh, yeah. Same. If you're new to the podcast, each week we watch the first three episodes of a new anime and cast our votes to love it or weeb it. If we don't like the show, we stop watching and weeb it to its own devices. But if we love it, we commit to do a full review of the show once it's complete. Today, we're sampling the first three episodes of Princess Connect! ! Which is available subtitled on Crunchyroll and Verve.
Good lord, that title.
So before we talk about Princess Connect, I want to explain some background about this game. And I guess just a caveat, if I am a huge gacha game fan, so I'm going to be talking a lot about gacha games and stuff. If that's something you really don't care about, you might want to skip ahead a couple minutes, because I am going to talk about this a bit more than other episodes.
Good God. Also, if they don't know, this anime is based off of a gacha game.
Yes. So Princess Connect is originally a game developed by Cygames. It's a mobile gacha game, and Cygames is mostly known in Japan for Granblue Fantasy and in the West for Dragalia Lost. So they've also done a bunch of other games like Rage of Bahamut, Idolmaster Cinderella Girls, which is a couple different games, Shadowverse, Umamusume, World Flipper, and all the games I've tried of theirs are really high quality. I think they really get what makes a compelling long-term game. And I generally have a lot of trust in them. They also, in addition to making good gameplay, are really competent at making heartfelt characters that really feel like they're worth investing in. Like, compared to the number one most popular gacha mobile game out there, Fate Grand Order, which I feel like is very cynical with its characters and is very much just like, sometimes it feels like it's edgy just for the sake of being edgy, and just has characters who are just assholes for the sake of being assholes. And it's just kind of like they're all shitting on each other and being terrible to each other a lot. Compared to that, the Cygames universe of games, they are very, very earnest and very positive, and generally just like have compelling stories.
Do they though?
Whether that applies to
anime, we'll get to that.
But Cygames is generally, I think, in kind of a weird place because Granblue is their big like flagship title that everyone knows them for. It's consistently a top 2 to 3 grossing mobile games, but it's not really known that well outside of Japan. And it's in a weird state where it actually has an official English localization, but it's not officially available in most ways. Like, it's Granblue is weird. It's a browser game that you can play on your phone, and there is like a mobile client you can get in the App Store or Google Play Store. But the English version is not in the American or other English speaking territories stores. So to play it on your phone, you can easily do that, but it's not in the English speaking app stores. So it's kind of in this weird state where it's like there is an official release, but it's not that accessible, and there probably is some weird legal restriction that I don't know what's going on there that makes it not fully easily accessible in the app stores. But in any case, Granblue is huge, but like not really well known outside of Japan. And Dragalia Lost, which launched a little over a year and a half ago, was like, from everything I heard, was supposed to be kind of their big, they launched it global from the start. Like most other mobile gacha games are Japan first, and then if it's successful, then they do an English or a global version. And they, I guess, save costs, because it's like, if it flops, they don't need to do the localization, and they only decide to do localization if it's successful. But Dragalia Lost, they were like invested in it from the start. They partnered with Nintendo to publish it and stuff, and it was like, this is going to be like an international title. It's localized from the start, has English voice actors from the start, and it's going to be huge. And everything I've heard about is that, I play it regularly, but everything I've heard about the statistics and stuff is like, it does fine. It's not like setting the world on fire like Granblue or Fate Grand Order do. So anyway, Princess Connect was originally a mobile game in 2015 and only ran for 1 year until 2016 before they shut it down. And I don't know why. There's not much information I can find about this, because it was a couple years later, replaced with Princess Connect! ! Which launched in 2018, which was a whole 2 years later. But like, it's hard to find information about the original game now because everything's about the new game. But apparently the story in the original game was that like the bad guys won and altered the world somehow. And now the Princess Connect Redive game is set in that alter world somehow. And yeah, Princess Connect Redive, it's a pretty good game. I've played it on and off for like several months at a time. It is kind of like a squad-based RPG. It's kind of hard to explain the formula if you haven't played many gacha games before. But basically, there are lots of girls to collect. The game has lots of different modes of play. There's like an arena mode, a princess arena, a clan battle, dungeon. Like there are so many different modes of play, and each one kind of has different strengths and weaknesses of girls. So it's basically like incentivizes you to have as many girls as possible because each one has their own niche in those different gameplay modes. It's basically just optimizing FOMO. But I think the thing that's most notable about the game, I guess I should mention, first of all, it's not localized in English, so it's only Japanese. It's pretty easy to play if you can read katakana, but when I played it, I did not know the story. I just skipped through all the story. So this story, watching the anime, first time I actually understood what's going on. But I think it's most notable about the game is that it has really lavishly animated anime cutscenes. And apparently those cutscenes are generally animated by Wit Studios and a couple others, but it's hard to find information about those. And I think it's interesting to look at these mobile game anime adaptations because in contrast to like the manga to anime pipeline, which is very well established, like it's very clear, like here's what you do when you're adapting a manga to an anime. Like there are some obviously creative choices you can make, and there are like, there's the big philosophical divide between, you know, like an anime running continuously and having lots of filler to stay pace with the manga versus, you know, slowing down and having the anime air intermittently, whatever. But aside from that, like, it's pretty standard. We're pretty, like, there have been hundreds and hundreds of thousands of anime produced from manga that it's like, we know the formulas now. But, like, it feels like every mobile game adapting to an anime is kind of doing its own thing, has to try its own thing, and the parameters for each one is so different that there isn't, like, a clear route to success. Rage of Bahamut, which was the first side games thing that I'd heard of, was adapted into an anime that basically did a completely original story. I think it was still set in the universe and had, like, a lot of same characters and world-building stuff, but, like, I think the main characters in the anime were completely original, and I really loved it. I liked the second season as well, aside from some genocide forgiveness, but aside from that...
Oh, good lord.
So that's a little bit troubling, but like if you glide over that one part, I think they're both really well done. But it's kind of weird because I think as an original story, it doesn't really do much to sell people on the game itself. And I assume at that point it was like, because I think it's their oldest, I think it is still running now, but I think it is their oldest running game. And I assume they were just like, okay, this is past its peak. We don't need to make the anime primarily an advertisement for the game. On the other hand, when they did the Granblue anime, the first season came out a couple years ago, it was a very faithful adaptation of the story from the game. And I love Granblue. It's probably my favorite game in existence, but, and I love the story, but the early story is very boring and not very good. And the anime just faithfully adapted that. And it is not worth talking about. I feel like it's very generic fantasy and is not really, doesn't really show the strength of the series or the writing or anything. And so I don't think the Granblue anime really did much. I think it was just like a glorified ad for the game and like didn't really set the world on fire. So what I think is interesting about Princess Connect is that, like I was saying, the game itself has so many anime cutscenes and stuff. It seems to me like a kind of game that was envisioned from the start to be eventually adapted into anime. So, but I also, like I said, I skipped all the cutscenes, all the story stuff in the game, so I don't know how much it diverged. But that's my impression, that this is like a new approach to a anime adapted from a mobile game that like is kind of structured as anime from the beginning. And it wouldn't be the first. Like stuff like Idol 7 is, I think, a very faithful anime produced from the game, and the game's story was set up to be an anime, it seems, and did that very well. So the studio animating the series is Cygames in-house studio, Cygames Pictures, and they kind of got their start with Blade Runner Blackout 2022 and Mysterio Friends, and I haven't really watched either of those, but neither of those is a full series. One of those is like a OVA side story to the Blade Runner. What was the new Blade Runner movie called? Was it 2020?
Oh, 2049.
2049, yeah. So then there was these like this animated OVA. I think it was directed by the Cowboy Bebop director?
Probably. Sure.
Anyway, apparently Cygames Pictures animated it. But so this is their first full series. And let's see how they did. The director and the person in charge of series composition is Takaomi Kanasaki, who I not heard of, but apparently they directed Konosuba, which I have not seen, but I've heard lots of mixed things about. What have you heard about Konosuba?
I heard that it's funny. It's not for me. I'm not into that show.
Have you tried it?
No, I haven't. I looked at it and I said, not for me, and I walked away.
My impression is that like I've been meaning to give it a shot because it seems like it's funny, lighthearted isekai. Apparently everyone's terrible to each other, which yeah. I don't love, but mm-hmm. if it's funny, maybe it's okay.
No, it's just, I guess, it just seems like more isekai nonsense, which, speaking of which, let's talk about Princess Connect.
Okay, my lengthy aside out of the way, what's Princess Connect about?
Okay, so Princess Connect is about this young man named Yuki who wakes up to some beautiful woman saying, hey, I'm going to drop you from the sky and someone's going to take care of you. And then he gets dropped from the sky. He has no memories. And then this other beautiful girl, Kokoro, shows up and is like, hi, I'm going to guide you and protect you. And then they meet another beautiful girl with bigger boobs who has a sword, and then they meet a cat girl, and then they go on adventures, and that's the story.
Yeah, that's about it.
It's got everything you need, all the different kinds of girls. It's got the little sister type. It's got the big-breasted idiot. It's got cat girls. It's got monster girls. What more could you ask for?
Well, notably, which we did not get to in this preview, so I won't talk much about, but in episode 4 is when the llama girl gets introduced.
Horrifying. I told you, monster girls.
yeah, I guess. Don't call her a monster. Wow. She's very offended by that term.
Oh, it's too late.
She even got dressed up in her cute outfit, and you're going to call her a monster? Wow.
She's horrifying. I think I've already gone into what I think of the show, but it is...
it hasn't been explicit yet.
No, but so, it's been pretty horrible.
Break my heart.
It's watching this was like slowly peeling a Band-Aid off of me. It was so painful. I couldn't get through. It took me 2 days to finish episode 1 because I was just so bored. I would like be looking at my phone and then I'd be like, oh, wait, I'm supposed to be watching this, and like rewind it. And like, I was just, I'm sorry. I don't care for self-insert main character, and I don't care for collecting all the different kinds of women people want to fuck. Like, I just don't get it. it's just that's what it feels like.
Yeah, okay. So there are so many elephants in the room with this. But I also am grossed out by the self-insert aspect of it. One of the things that is weird, because coming from the game, and in the game I just skip all the cutscenes or all the story in general. So like, I played the game forgetting the guy even is there. Mm-hmm. Like, so my impression of the story is that it's just those three girls, really.
Mm-hmm.
And watching the anime, it's like he is basically, like, structurally, he is a self-insert protagonist that mm-hmm. is just there to, like, oh, you can, you know, replace yourself with him. And, like, he is silent most of the time so mm-hmm. that you can transpose yourself into those situations. But
yes.
I was surprised by how much the narrative is, you know, like, poking fun at him.
Yes, but it's not funny. They they try so hard to make jokes and they just do not land.
So he has amnesia, but yes. It's more extreme than amnesia. It's like, he basically has forgotten how to do anything. And like in the first episode, Kokoro gives him a coin to go spend on food and he just starts eating the coin. And
yes.
It was funny.
I guess they just held on it for way too long and like dragged out the joke. And I was like, you've beaten this horse to death. Let it die.
I think that it's not the most tight, like fast moving comedy writing. It's kind of, I think, has the general anime comedy writing problem of like it lingers on the jokes, and mm-hmm. if a joke doesn't land, then you're sitting through that joke for like a minute before it moves on to the next one. And that kind of sucks. But the other thing that makes me a little bit uncomfortable with the jokes at his expense, which I do enjoy, but I just find them like so much of the humor feels very ableist because it's like it's all about how he is incompetent and like unable to do things. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I find it funny to be poking fun at the person who normally in this situation, his character design is basically Kirito from Sword Art Online. And yet, so I find it funny to be taking that archetype and like, you know, knocking it down a peg and making fun of him and not mm-hmm. empowering, like basically his power, like he does have like moments where it's like, oh my God, he's so empowered. But his power is basically activating the other girl's powers. So he's basically a support role. He's just there to give them their power. So I enjoy taking it down a peg and making fun of the character who normally in this situation would be the one who's like elevated up and is like, you're the most important one here. Like, but yeah, so much of it is like, he doesn't know how to say things. He only has 3 words in his vocabulary. Like, he's so dumb. And I'm like, okay.
It's not fun. It's not a funny joke. And there was only one thing that I laughed at in all 3 episodes. And it was, so he's going through, okay, you know what? His amnesia is also bullshit, but I'll get to that. So he has amnesia basically for how to do anything. And all he's learned is that money's important. And like rice is good and you should eat when you're hungry. Also, this show has the loudest stomach growls I've ever heard. The loudest and most frequent stomach growling I've ever heard in any show. It's insane. But when there is a monster girl who's like a little demon monster looking thing, I don't know what she is. And she looks like she's dying and she like falls to the ground. He comes over and he's just like, hey, you hungry? And like leaves some rice and walks away and does not make sure she's alive. That was the only thing I laughed at. He was just like, rice will fix you. Here you go. And like, so that was good. Everything else. Whew. Like all those wolf jokes where like the wolves came to like come eat him and drag him away. Like why did that happen like 8 times?
I can't defend sense of humor. Like, either you found it funny or not. Like, it can't break down the joke. No. I thought it kind of went into the, you know, like, the weird, like, something can be funny at first, and then you do it too much, and then it stops being funny, and then it loops back around if you keep doing it enough times.
Oh, my God.
Kind of how that almost felt to me. But I see your point.
Almost, but not quite. I will give the show this. A lot of the stuff...
I can guess what you're going to praise.
Oh.
You're going to praise the lavish boob animation.
All right. As much as I hate it, it was done well.
Wait, really?
I wasn't going to talk about the boob animation specifically, but like the animation in general, like I was like, hey, this could be a lot worse. Like this is pretty all right. Like they had a fight scene and I was like, you know what? Definitely better than other stuff we have watched, like Bofuri. Like, mm-hmm. This was better than that by far. Sorry to both of you.
But yeah, and on the topic of the boob animation, like...
God, there was so much.
Especially Pecorine, who is the main character.
What's her real name?
Okay, that's something that, I mean...
Is that a spoiler?
I think it is a spoiler. I mean, I think it's pretty clear from what she's been alluded to in these episodes that she's the princess of the main town.
She's wearing a tiara. And she said she's from the city that they're in, and her father gave her a sword that looks like it's for royalty. She's clearly the princess. The show's called Princess Connect.
I mean, I'm confused because I assumed, like, having played the game a lot, I assumed the story of the game was that everyone was a princess, that these are all different princesses. Like, I thought it was, like, that's kind of the story of Adventure Time. It's, like, every girl in the show is a princess of some other kingdom or another. And I thought that was going to be, like, but apparently, no. Might be one other princess, I don't know, but, like... And, I mean, Kokoro talked about having a... important father or something that gave her a task. So maybe she's a princess in another kingdom too.
Hmm. Well, didn't the evil mysterious lady tell the cat girl, what's her name? Carol?
Mm-hmm. And Tuesday.
Shut up. That she gave her like some sort of, what was it, like princess knight power or something?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like she's got princess powers?
I mean, I'm confused. I think the main guy, Yuki, I think he's supposed to be, quote unquote, the princess knight. So I was confused by that because I assumed princess knight was like him, like the powers that he activates for that. So I'm confused about that part too.
Well, maybe he just activates princess knight powers.
I guess
so. And he's the princess knight. Who knows? Doesn't make any sense. This isn't good. It's not written well.
So that whole like, what is Pecorine's name is so really handled because it's like, Carol knows her name and she just like starts. So like Carol has been like, is like looking out to hunt her. Carol is the cat girl. She's been like trying to attack them. And I guess Kokoro and Pecorine are both so oblivious they don't notice and end up trying to bring her into the group. And I guess eventually her tsundere ways will be eroded until she's actually one of the group. That was a real surprise to me because like, you know, skipping through all the story in the game, like I just thought like it's those three, like they're the three main characters. I didn't realize that like one of them is trying to kill the other two the most initially. Like,
yeah,
I just thought they all loved each other and were best friends.
No,
but I assume eventually it's eroded down. Then she just is fully on board. But yeah, moving back around to the boob animation.
Oh, good Lord.
It's really gross.
It's a lot. It was painful. Well, luckily, Kokoro's doesn't have a lot going on there, so it's just Pecorine.
Yeah.
But there was a moment when they were eating in the restaurant, and then she's like, I'd like the secret menu. And then a wind comes from nowhere, and both her hair and boobs are fluttering. And I was almost in tears. I was like, this is so stupid.
I'm going to send you a GIF from, I kept watching.
No.
And in episode 4, there's a moment. Where it's like the most egregious boob animation. It's just like so unnecessary and so goes on for so long.
Oh God. Well, when they were fighting against the dragon too in like episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
And she does like a jump. She's like, I'm coming, Yuki. And like jumps, like her boobs move first and like block her face. And I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Oh boy.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for sending me cringe. I hate you.
But like, okay. So I feel gross singing the praises of a gacha game that's clearly a like waifu collector. Collect all your girls. Oh my God. You want all the, what's your type? Do you want the monster girl? Do you want the sword girl? Do you want the big boob girl? Do you want the small boob girl? Do you want the 3-year-old girl?
Yes, literally.
I feel gross promoting that. But I'm in a weird position where like, I mean, we're both attracted to women, both you and I. But like, I don't find any of this attractive. Like,
no.
Especially like, Pecorine, like, or sorry, I always thought her name was pronounced Pecorine until I watched the show and I was like, oh, they're saying Pecorine. Mm-hmm. Anyway. And yeah, like, I don't understand finding that appealing. I don't know. I think I just am skeeved out by like a lot of depictions of women that like are clearly targeting the most baseline, like heterosexual dudes. I find extremely unappealing.
Yes.
So,
well, it's also, they all have little baby voices, which I mean, is not uncommon, but like it's really off-putting a lot of the time. Like I know exactly who it's aimed at and exactly who it's for, and that makes me very uncomfortable. It's like, this is not for me. Clearly I'm not the demo that they're aiming this at.
Yeah, I guess like I just have so many months and years of playing the mobile game and like just like building up a shield and just not even thinking about this as a sexual thing at all. Which is easier in the mobile game. Like one of the characters, which I'll show you if we get to the section where I show you my favorite characters in the game, who I like was the first character I rolled. Well, that's not true. I re-rolled my account until I got a like top tier character, and she basically carried through my game initially. And she has like the most, like, she's barely wearing any clothes. But to me, I'm just like, wow, she's the strongest. She's the most badass. And I like forget that she's made to be like super revealing and like sexually explicit and stuff. And like, and then seeing characters like that in the show where they're just like, their boobs are jiggling all around. And I'm like, I forgot that's what, so that's why they're designed this way.
It's horrifying. I was very upset with you. By the end of episode 3, I was like, I'm just going to kill Jeff.
Is there any aspect of it, though, like that feels empowering in that it's like, because, okay, so after watching, so I tried to get my boyfriend to watch it with me and he checked out like midway through episode 2, and by the end of episode 2 was like, this is just plunder all over again. And I was like, how dare you?
But he was right.
No, because like plunder, I feel like there's a big contrast between the like the ways in which women are depicted, not visually, but like the way they're treated in Plunderer in this. Like, I really hate the like kind of like torture porn aspects of Plunderer compared to this, where it's like, I feel like women are constantly being uplifted. They're constantly showing independence, showing their own powers. And I know it comes from a gross like waifu collector kind of place, but the way that it represents a whole like showing all these different types of powerful women that are all powerful and interesting in their own different ways, like, to me that feels cool and empowering to women, but I know it comes from a really gross place.
It doesn't when
yeah,
it's not empowering when the women act and look like that. Well, there was moments where it could have been cool, like when what's her name, Pecorin, is like fist fighting a golem or something. Yeah. And like, that was cool. She like punches him and like wins like barehanded. And I was like, that's cool. Too bad the whole time her boobs are flapping in the wind and I can't focus on the fight. And I was just like, if someone's also that strong, like, please draw the muscular. I'm tired of seeing like these toothpick arms for someone who can like punch God. And it's like, please, I want more like women to be drawn like, what's her name? Noi from Dorohedoro. Like, gorgeous, perfect, a perfect woman. Why are we not drawing more characters like her? Draw her buff, you cowards.
Oh my god, she's huge.
She's scary. Beautiful. Like,
okay, that sounds kind of offensive. Like, seeing other pictures of her, they look totally...
She's an angel. Really cool.
There's one individual picture I looked at that looks like, I think it's the angle that makes it particularly weird.
She's absolutely shredded, and I love
I found
her.
A fan art of her... I don't know what it's called, but the like long sushi rolls that I think is customary to eat like on New Year's or something. And it is very phallic.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
Fine. I want more characters that look like Bisky from Hunter Hunter.
Okay.
But when she's in tear shit up mode, not when she's a little girl.
Yeah, you wanted tear shit up mode Bisky and you got little dainty girl Bisky instead.
Yeah. And I got little baby girl Bisky. Why can't I ever have the things I want?
Oh, I remembered the tangent I was in the middle of and forgot. Like, the thing I was trying to point out is how weird it is that, I think I was just trying to explain what you were saying, so maybe I'll just cut this all out anyway. But like, the weirdness of Pecorine basically introducing herself. Oh, wait, sorry. She doesn't say her name. And Kokoro just starts calling her Pecorine because it's Peko Peko is like a Japanese onomatopoeia for, I think, being hungry. And her defining characteristic is she's just very hungry. And then she's like, oh. And so I think Kokoro like starts calling her Pecorine. And then she's like, oh, Pecorine, that's a good name. I'll call myself that. And Carol, who has been like sent out to assassinate her, is like, why are you introducing yourself as Pecorine? Like, I know your name, but they don't mention it to the audience. And I think it fits into a, there are similar things that I've encountered in other side games, gacha games, where there's like, the big overarching story that like gets revealed over like years of the actual game schedule is kind of obvious. Like, there are so many signs being pointed to it over time that it's like so many subtle clues that it's like, okay, we kind of know by now. Like, in Grand Blue Fantasy, there's a cute little mascot character who like is totally Bahamut. Like, they've basically just said it in subtle ways like 20 different times. and things like that. So like, I think this like, oh, Pecorine, she's actually the princess of Landisol. Like, I think it's one of those like, the story hasn't gotten there yet, but like, you're smart if you picked up the clues. And
even though they're obvious.
Yeah. but I'm intrigued by, I didn't expect to be so intrigued by Carol and her, like what's going on with her, like why she was sent to assassinate her and then eventually set to spy on them. And I'm just, I'll always go for a Sundaria who is turned by the endearing nature of the people who eventually become their friends.
I guess she, I do like when people open their hearts to friendship, but at what cost are we going, are we sitting through it in this show? Because like, it was so, it's just no fun. The most fun was like probably the cooking at the end.
The food war segment?
The food war segment with like that random.
Wait. For a second, you said you started saying Ford. Were you going to say Ford woos?
No, I just can't say words correctly. No, it was like, I was so bored. There was nothing fun. All of episode one was such a pain. At least in episode two, there was a dragon. Thank God. But okay, here's where the amnesia thing is bullshit. Because when they go to fight the dragon, Yuki's like plan is to like be a matador and like hold his cape in front of him in front of the dragon. And I was like, how do you know that? You are not even in the real world. So where does this knowledge come from? And what are you doing? Then he just gets eaten, which I think was supposed to be funny, but I didn't laugh.
Do you want, so we haven't been throwing up like a spoiler warning or anything because there's nothing in these three episodes that really warrants a big spoiler, but do you want me to, so in looking up what happened in the original non-redive version of the game and like what's going on there with the two different versions of the game, I did find like a major spoiler. Do you want to know it? Because I think it's kind of interesting.
Is it?
Not sure if it would change your opinion.
Is it that this world is our world, but we lost to villains and this is an alternate universe?
No. Okay, so if you don't want to hear the spoilers for like basically what happens at the end of the original Princess Connect game, which I don't think you're supposed to know, which is weird because like I feel like that could have been news that people would have heard about, but I think you're not supposed to know that going into it. And they don't actually hint at it until episode I've only watched episode four of the series, and episode four, basically Yuki gets knocked out and like wakes up again with the weird girl from the beginning, and she kind of drops a hint. But anyway, so if you don't want to hear that spoiler, you know, skip ahead a couple minutes. But yeah, so apparently in the original game, there is no Princess Knight guy. It seems to be about girl, like normal girls in high school who get transported into a virtual world where they become these characters, but they are just normal girls in real life and they become these girls. And then like the villain or whatever wins and ends up making it into like, makes the VR, or I think it's a virtual world. I don't know if it's a, I think it's a video game or a virtual world, but makes the video game virtual world into the real world or something. So,
okay.
So apparently there are hints in the game, like if you progress each character's story far enough, then it starts to be like, you start to see glimpses of them in high school attire and stuff.
Oh, good Lord. It's just an excuse to see them in that outfit. Okay, that was another thing that made me mad, is like, she's like, I'm a waitress now, and I'm wearing almost the exact same outfit because of the boob window, but it's a skirt that's slightly different. And I was like, I hate this show.
I was confused because I was like, I didn't even notice the costume change. So I was like, what's different? I don't get it.
Yeah, when like Carol's like, what are you wearing? And I was like, the same ass shit she's been wearing this whole show, except it's like pink.
Yeah, I think the show is like, its biggest strength is just being like lighthearted, fun time to hang out with these characters. And if that's not, like if it isn't fun, then it's not going to be fun. You know, like,
yeah.
It doesn't have
maybe
this,
if they
like,
made the characters likable.
I think they're like
wrong anyway.
But yeah, there's not like a, you know, the story isn't the driving force, it's the like hanging out with these like characters that I think is really the thing. And one of the big questions I still have is like, the game is very much a like, you know, collect all these girls, and the main three is kind of like the least interesting in terms of collection. Like they do have like alternate, there's like a New Year's version of Kokoro that's top tier in the meta right now, but and Princess Fest version Pecorine, which is also really good. But anyway, aside from like the most interesting characters are not the main three girls, so I wonder like how much they're going to be like side characters who are there for like half an episode, or are they going to be integral to the plot. As episode four, a couple more of them are introduced, but they seem like they could just be like asides for an episode or half an episode or so. And I don't know, like, how, I don't think they're going to be like joining the guild and like fleshing out the cast. I think it's just going to be like, recognize your favorites from the game, which doesn't spell well for like making this fun and accessible to people outside of pre-existing fans who are already familiar with the game.
Yeah. Also, the opening wasn't great.
Yeah, the open and especially the end of episode one where it was just like, let's flash to all the different girls. And I was like, this means nothing if you haven't played the game. Like, this is just...
Yeah.
I guess if like one of the designs is like, oh man, that one looks cool, or like, that one's my fetish.
Ugh.
See, I don't know.
It's like, if you're going to have a like a show that's aimed at like just the people who are already playing your game, you got to make that opening a banger so other people will be like, oh, what's this, and check it out. But they sure didn't do that.
I think the opening is nice and fun. It's, I don't think it's original to the anime. Like, it, I'm pretty sure, is the same music that plays. It actually comes up a lot because the game has so many like huge animation assets. So like, it's like, oh, there's a new content update. Wait and download 500 megabytes. And it's like, okay. So while it's downloading, it plays that song and has a little CGI cutscene. Not CGI, animated cutscene. But I think it's fun, and it's like, it's lighthearted, and like, you're gonna spend some time with these fun characters, but...
Yeah, it's lighthearted. I don't know where the fun is.
I thought this also was an interesting game adaptation. There were a lot of cute... Some of them were cute, some of them were like, this is stupid if you haven't... If like, this is just clearly a game reference. Like,
Oh, the stamp card?
Okay. I'll start off with a cute thing. The, during the interstitials, when it goes back and forth, when it goes to commercial and comes back from commercial, or whatever, when it shows like the now connecting text at the bottom right is like the same text that in the game it shows while you're loading a screen or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the stamp at the end of the episode is just like, it's stupid. It's the same thing they do in the game for your daily login bonus.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cute that it's like, oh, I don't know. It's stupid. I'm going back and forth between whether it's stupid or cute.
I appreciate that they tried to make their fans happy. That's all I will say about that.
I will say the ending was very, very meh.
Yeah. It's just overall, I think the series is meh. It's just not for me. I'm not into these girls. I'm not into boob animation. I'm tired.
Yeah, and I did look at some critical reaction another place on the internet from the Anime News Network preview guide and their weekly reviews and Anime Feminist episode one impressions and their episode three check-in. And I think they're generally like, a lot of the people at those places are generally like somewhere between you, or like around like an average of our reactions, I think. Like, the ratings on a 5-point scale from Anime News Network generally range from like 3.5 to 4. And Anime Feminist is pretty positive. Like, here's a quote from their episode one impression. Princess Connect Redive has a sense of humor about itself.
Kind of.
Yeah. In their episode three check-in, they said, Princess Connect came out of absolutely nowhere to become my second favorite new show of the spring.
How? First favorite better be Villainous, or I swear to God, I'm burning my own house to the ground.
Okay, I was going to defend it, but no, I mean... I can't say, like, when there's A3, Idol 7, Fruits Basket, like, sorry, this is like a distant fifth at best.
Well, to be fair, they said new show of this.
Okay, that's fair.
So, out of everything so far that we've watched alone, this would not be my second choice.
What will be your second choice behind Villainous?
Probably Sing Yesterday for me.
Ugh.
Oh, okay, we've only watched like five things.
Sing, I Already Forgot About It for me.
Oh my God.
Let's do Twitter questions.
Okay, Twitter questions. All right, from @dblazel. How do you feel about the main guy not talking? It seems like it's supposed to be self-insert, but it's just boring to me. I agree. It's super boring. How am I supposed to care about anybody if I don't care about the main character? But if he's like, just going to be self-insert, have him go away.
I don't feel like he's supposed to be. I feel like Pecorine's supposed to be the main character.
Whatever.
We already articulated a bunch of what makes me icky about... What makes me both... I both enjoy the humor about him and find it icky. And the other thing I find really icky about the whole thing is how much Kokoro... I guess he's, you know, the fate of Princess Knight from some prophecy, and she is just, like, all about that prophecy. She's just like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, my lord, oh my God. It's just like, this is gross. Like, I don't want to watch this cute little girl call the self-insert character my lord 50 times an episode.
Yeah, it's gross. Ugh. Also, he also asked, aren't you glad it's not a harem? Yes, but it also is, so.
Yeah, it's
But the
like,
harem isn't around him. It's about the viewer, I think.
Yeah, that's kind of thing. It's like, especially in the game, it's like, you can collect all the girls, so like, it's not literally like watching them all interact with one guy, but it's like promising that you can interact with all of them, so. Yeah.
So, in one sense, it's a little better because I don't have to watch a bunch of women lust after a mediocre man, but It is still like waifu collector, the show.
Yeah, and I think that difference means a lot to me because I can more easily like have some cognitive dissonance and like separate and be like, these girls are ignoring the guy. They don't care about him. Like, he's just kind of there and he's just like anyone else. And they are just being cool women in their own right. And I find it easy to just forget about and ignore the gross people who the show is made for. Which isn't a great thing in terms of like...
It's not like, okay, weird reference, but it's kind of... To me, I was thinking, especially when like the monster girl showed up, I was like, ugh, this feels very Rosario Vampire. But like... The main character doesn't
speak. I don't know that one. What's that about?
You haven't seen Rosario Vampire? Oh my god. It's the one where she wears a chain on her neck and she's a vampire. Oh,
that sounds promising.
Yeah. So this human man, Skune, he goes to a school for monsters on accident, and then all these different monster girls like fall in love with him. And the main girl is a vampire who has like cute pink hair and she's so cute, but she's a chain on her neck or like a rosary. And then when it gets pulled off, she turns into her badass self with white hair and she like kicks all kinds of ass. And it's like all these different monster girls like kicking ass, taking names.
It's just that the one Yui Kamio lets loose.
Yui Kamio? Yes, Yui Kamio. That's what I said when Yui Kamio came out. I was like, this is just Rosario Vampire, but with a hair tie. But like this kind of reminded me of that because Skune was like super useless. And so is Yuki. And there's just like these cool women. Some are busty, some are cute. Oh my god, it's almost the exact same like archetypes too. Because like the succubus, of course, had like boobs bouncing galore, and then there's like the little cute one who's always by his side, and then there's another one. She's I can't remember what she is. She has purple hair though.
The comparison I want to make is to Ruby, which to me feels like a show that is designed. The character designs are primarily by men who I think, I don't know if I actually heard this explicitly or not, but I think are trying to be like, look how badass and cool our female characters are. But like, they're just so many details about the way they're designed is like fetishizing them. It's like, wow, this is clearly just your fetish. Like you really just, you know, like cosplayers who dress in a certain way or something. And there I find it totally gross. And I'm trying to think through on the spot what it is that feels so different about this compared to that. And it might just be that I like the show and don't like Ruby. So like, I like if there are other things that make it the rest of the show appealing, I can easily look past that. And if there aren't, then I get hung up on it. But I think it's just like the production values in the show are so good. I mean, I'll just get this out of the way. Final verdict, I would not recommend this. I'm definitely weeping it. Like there are so many caveats. Like I would only recommend it to someone who is, because of whatever their personal circumstances are, is comfortable looking past all the grossness. And I think we just came up with Plunderer too. Like if someone is into that and is into fetishizing all these women, I wouldn't want them to touch the show. Like I want to keep it safe from them. Like
yeah, go away.
Yeah, like go enjoy something bad. Like don't corrupt my pure innocent girl. But with that aside, like I would not really recommend this to people unless they have very specific tastes. I still find it fun and it is like uplifting and cute, and the things in it that are gross because the really like subtle details that, you know, like because they're not fawning over a guy or like the women are always in higher positions of power than the men and stuff, like it's enough that it makes me not feel like this is terrible trash and shouldn't exist. But
I guess it's not the worst of the garbage.
I feel like my opinion could easily turn though if like an interview came out with a character designer that was like, oh yeah, we initially made Pecorine and like we gave her a reasonably sized boobs, but then we were like, we want $500 million a year, so we made them 10 times bigger. Like if a story came out, like if there were a behind the scenes story with like a bunch of dude bros being like, oh my god, yeah, make the boobs 10 times bigger, ha ha ha, let's smoke a cigar, I don't know, like just like being asshole dude bros, like that could tip my opinion. But for now, it's easy to just be like, oh, it's a cute fun story, like the characters are kind of gross and it's definitely appealing to a gross demographic, but like that's so abstract.
Yeah, so I'm also weeping it. You already saw that coming. I do not care for this. I would watch this over Plunderer if we're talking about like recent gross things. I would watch this over that, but it's just not fun.
Annie hates fun. We have it there, we have it on record.
Yeah. This just isn't fun for me. I was trying think about it in like overall where it would be so far in this season. So I was like, this is bottom on my list. But you know what? Nope. Yeah, I'm sticking to that. It's the bottom.
It's below listeners.
That's what I was debating. I was debating if it was listeners or this, like which one was worse.
I'm hurt
at least
by
with
that.
Listeners, at least with listeners, I can like try to figure out their cryptic references.
I am so offended by that.
I'm sorry. It's just not good. But anyways, it's on Crunchyroll.
It's on Crunchyroll and Verve. And if you are really into it, then the game is available on iOS and Android, but only in Japanese and only in the Japanese app stores and Play Store. But I don't know.
So just learn Japanese. It's whatever.
it's successful if you can read some katakana, but you do really need that because it's really hard to even like know which characters you have and like to look up tier lists and stuff if you can't even read their names. But you know, if you're really interested and you need some advice, I'm available on Twitter if you want. I can send you tier lists and like I'm sure there are instruction guides on how to install it.
Yeah, bother Jeff. Don't bother me. I don't care about this.
So Annie.
Oh God.
It's time to recommend something.
Oh boy.
Since you hate fun and all that's good and pure in the world, what do you like?
Actually, okay, so the final season of She-Ra just dropped.
Oh yeah.
So I'm catching up on the other seasons I had not watched to finally watch the final season. I hear Catra gets a haircut and I'm very into that. So I'm going to watch the hell out of that. Also, Avatar's on Netflix. Like, why wouldn't you just watch that also? But with that comes a lot of discourse.
Wow. So you're not going to recommend Korra? Wow. I guess you hate Korra.
Korra's not on Netflix. What am I to do?
Anti-feminist. I guess you hate women.
Listen, I own three different Blu-ray sets of Korra, okay?
Wait, so is Korra not streaming anywhere?
I don't think so. I think you can pay for it to like stream.
See, I was confused. I thought there were multiple waves of discourse because I thought Korra became available on one streaming service. And then Last Airbender became available on a different one. Did I make that up?
No, there is no... I don't know. I feel like Korra was on Prime Video for a while.
Mm.
Okay, it's still, but you have to pay for it. It's not like with your Prime subscription. Yeah, so Korra's not like streaming anywhere, which is a bummer.
Well, if you search Korra on Hulu, you get Inside North Korea.
Well, close enough. No, Avatar is good. It's great. If you haven't watched it, please watch it. It's my favorite show. That's all I have to say about that.
Okay. I'm going to recommend people do not watch Westworld Season 3 because... I just keep getting duped by that show. Like, I keep being like, the last season was terrible. Like, it wastes so much of its narrative time on just like blood and gore and spends like 3 seconds exploring some kind of interesting philosophical ideas. But then it's just like, the only thing that's actually really competent that people actually praise it for is just mindless violence. And people seem to think that like a little bit of philosophical talk and then like an hour of mindless violence means it's a smart show. And then I keep being like, well, maybe next season's gonna be better. And then each season's worse. And then... And then I'm like, maybe it'll be, my experience will be heightened if I listen to podcasts about it. And inevitably every podcast I listened to this season was like, after every episode was like, okay, it's pretty good. It's gonna be pretty good. And every podcast didn't turn into the last episode. And they were like, oh man, all these like 20 different conspiracy theories we had didn't turn out. Wow, the show actually sucks. Wow, we didn't notice it until now. And I'm like, it was there all along. So don't watch Westworld Season 3.
I thought we were supposed to be positive in these recommendations, Jeff. What's happening?
I need an outlet.
Well, put it on your Twitter so I can reply to it with your own words saying that you try not to be negative.
I deserve that.
That was so funny. But do you recommend something positive?
Okay. If all this talk about gacha games makes you interested in playing because like Princess Connect, I think is a really high production value gacha game, but like I find it hard to stick with because it's, I don't think, the most fun in the long term. If you want a really good gacha game that is available in English, play Granblue Fantasy. Granblue Fantasy is great from the same developer as Princess Connect, and I think it has a lot of the strengths of Princess Connect without, it still has gross character designs, but it also has sexy guy character designs, so that's cool.
Whoop-de-doo.
And it has really earnest story. It is actually like really engaging long term. It's the kind of game that I think you can only really get into if you can find a way to slot into your life. Like if you do anything where you can like have a browser window running in the background that like auto battles and then you like click it every 5 minutes, if that's not even slot into your life, then it's great. And if not, then like it might be hard to really play because it's like not the kind of game you can actively play very well aside from like reading through story.
All right. I regret asking you to recommend something else.
Okay. That's all. Granblue Fantasy is great. It's the best game ever.
Okay. Well, that's great for you, Jeff. All right. Thanks for listening. Sorry about Jeff and all his gotcha games. please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Yes. Or you can send us feedback at loveitorweaveit@gmail.com or on Twitter at loveitorweaveit. You can also find me on Twitter at any other name.
And I'm definitely Jeff. And that's the end of the show. Annie killed it because she killed fun.
That's my MO.
Even though, actually, wait, I've weebed everything this season. You're the only one that's actually loved something so far.
I can't believe you didn't love it. I'm sick of you.
I mean,
anyways,
to myself, I love it. I would never say I love this in public. So
I would. I would scream it from the heavens.
What?
Not for this one. No, Villainous.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing I've loved, I would scream from the heavens that I loved, and I can't believe you didn't love it.
I mean, my opinion is shifting on Villainous. We're probably going to end up resurrecting that.
Hell yeah, we are. Bet your ass.
All right, bye.
Bye.
And as we always say, nothing says lovin' like anime from the oven. So you don't have any anime you've been watching, right?
Nope. I only am watching K-dramas now. What? Don't deep sigh at me, sir.
It's just not, this is not the kind of weeb that I'm used to. I'm not used to queebs.
It's a Koreaboo. Thank you very much.
Keebs?
All right. That's enough out of you.
I mean, Koreaboo is too long. You need to shorten it. What do you shorten it to?
Koreaboo.
I mean, if you followed the pattern of weeaboo shorting to weeb, wouldn't it be reeb? But that sounds like it's a stan of like Reba McEntire. So.
Oh my good lord.
Are you a weeb?
No.
I'm a reeb. I watch your sitcom. Oh my god.
All right, we're done with that. We're moving on.
She had red hair.
Am I going to start this?
I stan anyone who has red hair and is on TV.
Okay, I'm going to start this.
That's why I like Serious Dick. Oh. Kirishima.
Have you even watched any more of My Next Life as a Villainous?
I'm only one episode behind.
All right, all right.
Okay, so Jasmine, okay, that's fair. You're going to make it
Jasmine's
all...
Jasmine's great.
Social justice warrior corner here.
Hell yeah. She was assertive and beautiful and had a pet tiger. What are you going to do?
That's fair. Did you have a runner-up?
A runner-up? No, Jasmine's first place in my heart. I guess maybe Tiana.
Who?
Tiana from Princess and the Frog.
Oh, I don't remember any names from that movie.
Oh my good gracious. She was great. The movie was fun. It's underrated. Go watch it.
I think it just came at a point where I was like, I thought that Disney movies weren't worth watching. I was at that point in my, like, I'm too old for Disney movies age.
Unbelievable.
Which is stupid. When I said, when we came up this topic and I was like, I think my answer's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Was it obvious?
No, it wasn't. I had no idea who you were going to pick.
my runner pick was, I don't remember her name. What's her name?
Oh my God.
Okay, what's the actress?
If it's Rapunzel, I'm going to scream.
Why Rapunzel?
I don't know, because that's the one that it's like most egregious to forget her name.
Oh. Let's say, because she's in Kingdom Hearts? Wow. Well, that I guess too. A lot of them are Kingdom Hearts. No, I'm thinking of the Sarah Silverman character.
Oh, Vanellope?
Yeah, Vanellope. Because her whole like having like powers through glitching is kind of like a subtle queer metaphor. And it's pretty cool. But
you also couldn't remember her name, so... shows how much you care.
Names are hard.
Anyways,
I remember what she looks like.
Okay. Let's talk about Princess Connect exclamation point recolon dive. I don't like saying colon dive.
Recolon dive.
Can we just say redive?
No, it's illegal. It's illegal to mispronounce it.
Ugh.
You know, the elite weebs in the community, we call it precone. That's how you shorten.
That's embarrassing for you. I would keep that to yourself.
I did like think to my head, to myself before I was like doing the math. I was like, okay, precone is three syllables. Princess Connect is only four. So like, how much of a weeb will I sound like if I abbreviate four syllables to three? It's probably not worth it. I should just say Princess Connect.
Yes.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
And as you always say, nothing says lovin' like anime from the oven.
All right. Is that because of the food?
Also, it's weird how food... is so integral to the story and they're like the gourmet guild. It doesn't factor into the gameplay at all. Like nothing in the game is about food.
I was thrown off. I did not know what was happening.
Like given how it's like the gourmet guild, I would expect the gameplay to be kind of like that. Was the food game he played for a while?
Oh, shit. I can't remember.
Wow, you must not really care about it. Wow, because you can't remember.
Wanted to say Food Wars, but that's not right.
Wait, is it Food Fantasy?
Yeah, Food Fantasy.
So this is Makoto. She was the one that I rerolled for. And like, I think she's so cool and badass. But then when you actually look at her full artwork, it's like, ugh.
No.
She's not wearing any clothes and it's gross.
This is gross. Turn this off.
Oh, it's so gross. But like in her sprite artwork, she looks so cool and badass. Like, look at her.
I guess she's got a big sword.
Yeah. This is Muimu. I don't know how that's... A lot of these names are like Carol, first of all, is not... Did you notice that? They're not saying Carol. They're saying Kyaru.
Kyaru, yeah.
And there was some like... Because I think her name was first officially localized in Granblue Fantasy and people were like, how are they going to spell that? And I looked on... when I was looking at... I think on Wikipedia, actually, or one of the wikis, it lists her name as Cal. And it's like,
good
no.
Lord.
Anyway, Carol is much better than Cal. Anyway, Muimu, she was like a top tier meta for a while. She's pretty cool, but also she's like not wearing many clothes in her midriff region.
Good gracious.
Oh, this is This is Princess Fest version of Pecorine, which is nice because like her boobs are a little bit more classy here.
Hidden.
Like, yeah, it's like her arms are hiding them.
Mm-hmm. Her boobs are classier.
Nanika,
we met her in the show.
Wait, we did? I don't think
so. Right? It was the little pink hair girl, not her.
When was that? Because she's relatively new to the game.
Oh, in episode 3, there was those three little girls that showed up.
Oh, I don't think that was her.
Oh, okay.
Because she...
Why does Nanika, she have a chameleon?
I don't know. Tangled? I guess I saw Tangled and like that. And
all right.
They do. She does a lot of magic stuff. And she's like... I basically left the game for like a year and then came back and she was like top of the meta. I think this girl is one of the ones we met.
Oh, one of the little girls, yeah.
Yeah, one of the three. The ones that were like 8 years old or whatever. And it was like, ugh.
Yeah. They're like, we don't meet the age requirements for the guild. I was like, ew.
She's one of the best tanks in the game.
That's so stupid.
Okay, this one we met, Christina, we met a little bit. She was like...
Oh, the evil one? She was the only one who I was like, where is she? Where is she? Where is
she? Yeah, she's really cool. I mean, she does have...
She is cool. Her boob is like a breath away from popping out, but...
that is kind of gross. But like, this design...
So pointy.
The design is really cool. Like her giant sword, her like, these weird digital effects.
It's her giant sword. That is what I'm looking at. I can't look away. If I can't. Have you ever seen that video of that guy who's like, I'm going to do this to prove that you don't have to objectify women, and it like tracks where your eyes go?
No.
Oh my god. And then I have to send it to you.
This is one of my favorites. Wait, what's her name? June? This is one of my favorites.
Fully covered in armor?
Yeah. Like, it's not sexualized. She's just like full badass armor lady. I think she was in like, maybe it's just the opening, but I think she was like next to Christina in one shot or something. I don't know any of her backstory or anything, because I don't know any of the character backstories, but she seems really cool.
She does look pretty cool.
Lima, actually, the subtitles are calling in episode 4, calling her Rima, but she's cute, and you called her a monster. How dare you?
Yeah, she's horrifying. I'm so sorry.
Also, at the end of episode 4, spoilers, she takes a potion and becomes a real girl, a human girl, and I was like, is that real? Was that in the game? Because I had not seen that. Here's Pecorine's normal design, and it's like basically as gross as the show.
Ugh, gross.
Like, it's also
she's got
like,
that onigiri.
Her boobs look like onigiri. I think that's what they're going for.
I hate this.
And it's gross. Ugh. Oh, but look, you can make her on your,
ew,
on your home screen. Oh my god, look at how her clothes, ew, like lift up.
This is so gross.
I think that's all my favorites.
I can't believe I watched both seasons of Rosario Vampire.
And you won't even watch Princess Connect. Wow.
At least Rosario Vampire was funny.
I might buy like the really expensive Blu-rays of this anime because they come with in-game rewards in Granblue Fantasy.
Oh my god. For a second, I thought you were saying Rosario Vampire. I was like, are you joking?
No. Oh my god. Okay, I should go figure out dinner.
Okay, go have fun.
All right.
Dinner.
Thank you for watching my trash.
You're welcome. It was horrifying.